Hello and welcome to episode 725 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I'm one of the co-founders here at ETR, and we are here for the weekly show you cannot live without. It is indeed Market Monday. Each Monday right here, I go over the biggest risers and fallers in average draft position, aka ADP, in best ball markets. I'll discuss whether I'm buying or selling these players at their new prices and why. The idea is to get you up to speed very quickly on what's happening out there in drafts and how to adjust. Remember that if you are a best ball subscriber at ETR, and it's just $39.99, by the way, if you are a best ball subscriber, you have access to all our continuously updated rankings. We're covering five sites right now, context around those rankings, live stream strategy articles, and lots more. The full list of ADP risers and fallers, not just the ones I'm going to talk about today, with context is up as well. Not hot takes, not loud nonsense, just the stuff you need to actually compete in best ball at the highest level. All right, let's begin with the three best ball risers from the last 7 days. First one I want to talk about is George Pickens. George Pickens is up 3.3 spots on DraftKings to 52 overall and is also up 1.2 spots on Underdog to 45th overall. I'm actually pretty surprised George Pickens is moving up. I suspect this is because the Steelers only added Roman Wilson in the draft, traded away Diontae Johnson. But man, do people not realize who the offensive coordinator is for the Steelers now? I know we haven't done the coaching change fallout show yet, but my God, Arthur Smith. Yes, that Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator. And the quarterback is either the corpse of Russell Wilson or the slowest processor of defenses in the NFL in Justin Fields. And as for Pickens himself, I mean, he's clearly an awesome talent. Maybe he's more of a household name if he didn't blow out his knee back in March of 2021. But I'm just not sure he profiles as a true load-bearing wide receiver, a target hog. So we have offensive coordinator and play calling and scheme concerns. We have quarterback concerns, and we have some light concerns around the player. Just an easy pass for me on George Pickens at 45 overall on Underdog. We have him ranked 63rd there. I just can't take Pickens over the guys in that range like Lamar Jackson, Tank Dell, Mark Andrews, T. Higgins, etc. Second riser is Deontay Foreman. Deontay Foreman is up four spots at 208 overall. So this is actually one that I've been on, Deontay Foreman. I know that dudes are coming back faster than ever from injuries, particularly ACL tears. And I know that Nick Chubb is a total freak of nature, insanely athletic and strong by all accounts, an extremely hardworking dude. But as we sit here in mid-May, we don't have great reports on Nick Chubb's status yet. I'm betting against him right now, especially with his ADP up at 108th overall. Remember back in 2015, Nick Chubb blew out his knee while at Georgia. PCL, MCL, LCL all got blown. Then the same knee, this last season, 2023, he blew out again, and it was a complicated one. He needed two separate surgeries because he tore his meniscus, MCL, ACL. And that was September 18th, so early in the season, but still. So look, if Nick Chubb can come back from this, carry big workloads, resume his status as one of the most efficient running backs in NFL history, and do that in year one off this injury without much of a pass game role, I'll just tip my cap and take the L on this Nick Chubb fade. But my bet is going to be on the other guys. I've taken a bunch of Jerome Ford, and I've taken a ton of last round Deontay Foreman, you know, taking zero Nick Chubb. I'm honestly shocked that Foreman isn't getting drafted that often. Remember that if you do have the ETR best ball subscription, you have access to our ownership projections for best ball mania. This tells you how often a guy gets drafted in a league. And there's a big edge to have a guy, to hit on a guy that isn't drafted in every league, because you'll have a more unique team in the best ball playoffs, which goes a long way. So right now, Dante Foreman's only getting drafted in 27% of leagues per our ownership projections. Easy last round pick for me. Third and final riser I want to talk about is Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, Waymo, as he's known around here, up 3.4 spots to 95th overall on Underdog. no surprise here. You know, Jameson Williams is the exact kind of guy that will catch steam. I wouldn't be surprised if Jameson is going in the 80s or even the 70s by the time August rolls around. So I'm taking Jameson Williams a bunch right now, especially on underdog, where it's more, where the scoring format is more big play, touchdown heavy. I just don't see Jared Goff ever really loading Jameson up with targets. Goff is a short slash middle thrower, and he has incredibly strong options there with Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs. So if Jameson can get 6+ targets per game, I mean, I think that would be a huge win. That's not very much volume if he's going to get steamed up into the 70s. But in the meantime, while he's going here in the 90s, sometimes he slips around 100. In the meantime, we have a guy who is still just 23 years old, is another year removed from his January 2022 ACL tear, has a path to a true every down role now that Josh Reynolds is gone, is getting a ton of praise from coaches about turning the corner late last year, has freakish speed and ability, see the Alabama tape, and is going to play all but 3 of his games this year in a dome. So Jameson Williams is exciting, at least in theory, but it's exciting. All right, let's get to 3 fallers in ADP from the last week. CJ Stroud is down a couple of spots on underdog to 51st overall. This is a tough one for me on Stroud because I do think the likeliest outcome is that he goes nuts this season. Just stone cold smashes. It was the Texans, not the Bills, who reportedly really wanted to get that trade done for Stephon Diggs. And that was even though they knew they already had Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz. So it tells me that their first down throw rate, their overall offensive philosophy is going to be throw, throw, throw. Remember last year, the Texans were actually negative PROE, negative 2.2% pass rate over expectation, 19th in the league. So a spike there into the top 10, which I think is really likely. Clearly, that's good for Stroud. Adding Diggs is good for Stroud, obviously. The only concern I have on Stroud is price relative to rushing ability. Because to compete with the truly elite quarterbacks these days, you need to do both. Run and pass. Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, even Pat Mahomes to some degree. I mean, they're all doing both. So in order for Stroud to reach those guys' level in fantasy production, he needs an absurd passing season on both volume and efficiency, like those absurd Tom Brady seasons. Not saying he can't do it. He definitely can. But I would take Anthony Richardson over Stroud right now in fantasy. So when I'm drafting, I'm really only getting Stroud as part of stacks, which is fine because I still get Stroud a decent amount because I take Nico Collins and I take Tank Dell a bunch. But when I don't get one of Nico, Tank, Dell first, CJ Stroud has been a pass for me at his current price. Again, 51 overall on underdog. And he's especially a pass for me on DraftKings where the full PPR makes quarterbacks a bit less valuable. Second faller is Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson down 14.5 spots on FFPC, down to 108 overall. Deontay Johnson has been a tough one for us on early ranking. We were higher than market on Deontay in our initial set of rankings based on Johnson's career-long ability to earn targets. And also, you know, a natural boost in Bryce Young efficiency as he enters year 2 with a better supporting cast. And, you know, we have a lot of respect for Dave Canales. But we've backed off that Deontay Johnson ranking a bit recently, as I don't think we're just that comfortable with Deontay Johnson in a new system, when in seemingly an awesome spot for him in Pittsburgh, he was so egregiously bad in yards per target and fantasy points per target. I mean, just dreadful, like league worst levels. And now Deontay Johnson has question marks with Bryce Young. Adam Thielen is still there. They spent a round 1 pick on Xavier Leggett. They have a bunch of draft capital on Jonathan Mingo, who's still there. Dave Canales is talking about establishing the crap out of the run. So I just don't have a great feel on Deontay Johnson right now. I don't want to force it because I don't think the ceiling outcome is that big. Like, even if Deontay Johnson, quote unquote, hits in Carolina, what does that mean? I don't really like his chances of hitting that ceiling anyway. So I easily prefer Chris Godwin, DeAndre Hopkins in that range if we need a veteran target earner, just better players and probably better situations. Last faller to mention here today is Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is down four spots to 171 overall. I wanted to bring up Hunter Henry in the context of two things. First, backdoor stacks. We have an episode on backdoor stacks coming up soon, but one emergency stack that is easy to get late is something like Drake May, Jalen Polk, Hunter Henry, or some combination like that. You know, I don't love it, but man, it's cheap, and Drake May has sneaky rushing upside. So that's an option where I'm fine with Hunter Henry. But the other thing I'm still trying to get my head around and figure out my strategy for this season is just the tight end position generally. Historically, most of my best ball success, and frankly, a ton of my teams over the past few years, have been three late round tight ends. Just try to mix and match touchdowns from three guys all year. Let the position all fail, the rest of the position all fail like it does so often each week. But part of that strategy in the past was there were always guys I was excited about late. This year, I'm having a harder time finding enough late round tight end targets I like to make that strategy viable. And I think if I don't have Drake May, and I'm not going for that backdoor stack, I probably prefer some other guys. Right now, I'd say my favorite late round tight ends are Juwan Johnson, Noah Fant. Seahawks quietly cleared out a bunch of tight ends. Noah Fant, Chiga Okonkwo, Dawson Knox, Michael Mayer, Theo Johnson, maybe Jatavion Sanders. It's not pretty, but my preference is to make that three late tight end strategy work. I just rather use that early round draft capital on guys who can get me 30, 40 points at other positions, but I need to keep thinking through how viable late round tight end is this year. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Market Monday. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you have not yet subscribed to the Establish the Run podcast, be sure you are by searching for it anywhere podcasts are found. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter for a ton more player takes at Adam Levitan. And be sure you're subscribed to our YouTube. It's free, and there's a ton of content out there that does not hit this pod feed. For producer Luke, for King Editor Jackson, for Jerry, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.